Good evening. If I might, there is something that I would like to deal with before. My understanding is that you will be leaving in not too distant future, correct? Yes, and I would like to take this opportunity to say something that I would like my friend to have the benefit of hearing. Those of you who have been in relationship with me for a while now, I would like to suggest something to you. To those of you that it doesn't appeal, please forget it. It has absolutely no relevancy unless you have a response within you about what I'm about to say, which is this. You will probably notice as the days and weeks and months of our relationship goes on that what is meaningful in our rapport is not my words. For those of you that are really doing any of the things that I have suggested you to do, will be finding that words are going to get less and less and less and less. That is my hope, that my words will mean less and less and less to you. What I want to become the absolute paramount thing in your life is your experience. So then, what is the point of coming to gatherings of this sort? There is a point at this time, and I would like to discuss that for a moment. If I am doing my job correctly, and if you are doing your job correctly, as you sit here, then there is a maximum chance for transformation. If either of us is not doing our job, then it will not happen. By that I mean simply this. If I'm doing my job correctly, then the availability for what you would call a quantum leap is present. Now, it's simply a matter of energy. Very simple, nothing mysterious, you know, covered with occult mysticism, nothing. It's simply a matter of energy. The energy is present. If you and your energy field is waiting, open, strongly here, strongly accepting, not putting up limited barriers of thought form of any kind, no matter how exalted, just no thought, just a receptivity. If that is what is happening to you, then the leap can take place. And that is my hope for all of you who have been kind enough to listen to all this wind month after month after month, is that you will now be able to make the transformation. It is not to say you cannot do it without me. Of course. Of course. And I want that absolutely on record. You do not need me sitting here prattling to you to be transformed. No. However, it is true, and we must stand on this, that it is possible at times of maximum energy input, at certain times of energy connectedness, which you know nothing about and need not know anything about, that maximum times are possible. Therefore, when we come together, if you will take the words and place them out of your mind, if you will get yourself as grounded within your real being as you possibly can and just sit, you will do much more for your own freedom than listening to all of my words. There will be a time, you must have noticed it, sometimes the words seem meaningful, other times you may not even hear them. You have to go back and listen to the tape. What was all that about? This kind of thing. It is because if you're doing the right thing, and if I'm doing the right thing, by that I simply mean the thing that's the closest to your freedom, then it can happen. And I wanted to indicate this to you before you left. Because there comes a time when you must say, is there anything more to be said? He said it all. I don't mean that I'm so marvelous and so vast that I've said it all, but there's very little to say. And you must have asked yourself, then why do we have to keep going? Well, I hope that that is the only reason now for some of you who have been so very patient. There is a chance. If you're here and I'm here, and if we're both ready, it can happen. Now, I will not deceive you. At some times, the cell, I'm speaking of the, what is the word you use for the atmospheric conditions affect it. The stellar conditions, is that your references to the stars? Is that a, all right, the polarity of the planets and the sun, all of that business All of those things affect what happens. But at each time, if I'm here and if you're here and if you're ready, I'm ready too. That's all that's needed. No words, no dogma, no dialogue. In the last, every real teacher of spiritual wisdom on the earth plane states to his or her closest disciples, don't listen anymore. Not because you're so smart, but because you have come to know that my words will do nothing. And that's what I say to you now. Those of you who believe in what I am doing, my words will do nothing. But at the time when we come together on a tape, yes, it's still possible. I don't have to be here in this chair on this floor. And my gratitude to you for your giving it up. Thank you. But I don't have to be here. Do you have to have a tape? No. All right, I have said it before, and I repeat again, those of you who are sincere, I will tell you this. The divine wisdom at its maximum is always available, and you do not need a middleman. You never have, and you never will. If you want one, fine, there are plenty around in varying degrees of effectiveness. But I state again, and I stand on this as absolute truth, you do not need a middleman. They are very helpful. A woman can give birth without someone there, but it's a lot more helpful when somebody is there. But she cannot deliver the child for you. She simply assists. And that's my job. And then the midwife leaves, and you're left with the baby. And then your work begins. I promise you this. When you have your first breakthrough of real, true cosmic awareness, your work has just begun. You think it's finished? Nonsense. It's just begun. It's just begun. It goes on forever. It's an extendedness. It's an extension of all that is. It goes forever and ever and ever. And there is no time, so figure that one out. But I want to make it very clear. Those of you who have listened over and over, forget what I say. If you have to have any kind of word, I would say, participate in what I am and ignore what I say. That is available to you every morning as you sit, every night as you sit, all your day as you go about it, not because I am so wonderful and kind and loving. It has nothing to do with me, but it has everything to do with you. I have told you before, if you have any birthright, it is this, that the divine is absolutely, constantly, never failingly available to you. At all times and in all places, under all conditions. That is a cosmic fact. It doesn't rest on your believing it. It simply exists. It is true. So you see, there should be no problem. If you want the divine, and the divine wants you, then what then is the problem? And this is the hard part of what I say. The problem is, you don't want it. Or if you do, you want it in such a spasmodic rhythm that you haven't built sufficient power to push. You don't push the divine around. The divine is always there. It is yourself. A quantum leap, in your words, is necessary. And in order to do that, you have to have a lot of whatever they're called, retro rockets, I don't know these words. You need something, some kind of thing. In the spiritual path, it's called power. This is why I keep saying to you, please build your power. Not your arrogance, not your egotistical nature, but your inner power. Your inner attunement with it. Because when you build that, then you will have enough to make your quantum leap. Believe me, it is true. And each one of you will do it in a different way. And this is the wonder of it, don't you see? Don't you see this is the wonder of it? You don't have to change. You don't have to turn green instead of purple. You can be exactly as you are, and it is there available absolutely You don't have to do anything, change anything, say anything, assume any mudras or whatever. None of that is necessary. There's only two things necessary. You, which you cannot get away from no matter how hard you might try. Even if you try and die, it will not work. You will wake up and find you're very much alive. I promise you that. I promise you that. Try to kill yourself, you will wake up and find yourself alive. And you've wasted a lot of time. So there are only two things necessary. Yourself, which you must agree is here, and the divine, which I promise you is here. So, it's all here. Whenever you find yourself reading, let us say, a book, and you feel that it is a book of the higher quality, not just, you know, a mystery novel or something, but something that has some spiritual substance to it, I would ask you to use this same approach as you do, I hope, when you're sitting in with each other or at any other time. A book of high wisdom is not what you think it is. It appears to you to be lines on a page. No, I grant you, that is the reality on one level. But if it contains the higher truth, if you sit quietly, totally, completely, with those words on that page, there is a communion of energy. We must go back to the one inescapable fact. You are energy. You are not what you think you are. You are energy. Everything is energy. The book is energy. So as you sit there with this book in your hands, in the totality of that moment, how do you think the I Ching works? It works because there is energy contained in that text, in the quality of the words. Why does the Bible, reading over and over, have so much meaning to people? Because it is a communion. These are only communions. They are constantly with you. And if you use them well, you will find out the truth of those inner meanings of those things. I give you my word. All you do is sit there. Now, if you use your mind, which is how most people... You see, what I'm trying to ask you is to consider how you approach all forms of higher wisdom. If you use your mind, you're going to be endlessly trapped. Because if you're very good at it, you will read many, many different books. And everyone will tell you a different thing. And then if you're very lucky, your ego will trap you and you will absolutely stopped for the rest of this incarnation. Because there will be so much spiritual truth that contradicts each other that you're lost. Watch your lives, my friends, over and over again. I see this very sad phenomena. Over and over again, I see it happening to very dear, beautiful ones. They fill themselves so much with so many different things. And on their deep level, they see the contradictions. Do you understand me? You feel the contradictions. You pick up a book of one wisdom and another of another within a two-week span of time, and you say, well, I see the similarities, but let me tell you something, my friends. You also sense the contradictions. And there's so many choices available to you with all these different methodologies and so on that you can, without any question, use the rest of your lifetime trying to figure out which way to move. That need not be a problem. But in order for it not to be a problem, you have to learn something very simple, which is, as that book is energy in motion, and you are energy in motion, if you sit quietly with the two of you joined together, what is going to happen is that the energy field will begin to build. Watch what happens to you. If something is really yours, as you start to read it, you should feel a response. I don't mean an intellectual delight, but a real response within your being. Something should be happening. Please don't waste your time reading things that don't have this for you. Have I made this clear? It is the easiest test. Please don't take my famous saying, don't take a poll on the block of what you should read. Decide. What should you read? You have millions of choices in this day and age. The choices for spiritual wisdom are fountains exploding everywhere. All right. How then should you spend your time? If you indiscriminately read this, that, and the other, which I feel many people do, there's nothing wrong with gathering a lot of information. But when the day arrives that you say, the book is not the thing, the experience is the thing, then you must decide how now to go. And it is not mysterious. It is not mysterious. Your ego would like to say, oh, this is the most mysterious thing. Look at all of your choices. This is so mysterious. Nonsense, my friend. Absolute nonsense. It is so utterly simple. People say it over and over. Well, I always end up going back to so-and-so. What is this saying? This is saying that that last thing, the first and the last, is the thing that makes the most difference to them, that really has the power to transform the energy into some kind of verbal image that has meaning. Understand, that's all the book is doing, taking energy and transforming it into a verbal written image that responds to your being, and you say, yes, I hear you. I hear you. Find out. If you wish for maximum haste in your transformation, I recommend one thing when it comes to reading, which is find out that which fills you and continue to fill yourself with it. Because eventually, my friends, what happens is when you pick up the text and you read the wisdom and it gets so ordinary to you, then you transcend the mind. Do you understand me? When it becomes ordinary to you, when you say in your mind, I understand, then your mind is set at ease because your mind is no longer cogitating upon it. And at that moment, when your mind is at ease, then you begin to learn on another level. As long as your mind is titillated, and this is why you read different things, you say it's because you want to learn more. My friends, with all due respect, most of you in this room are filled to overflowing with words. You don't need more words. You do not need more words. What you need is those words to come to life. And they do come to life. They do in a very real and meaningful way. When your mind has finally accepted it and is bored with it, remember, I always go back to this, I'm very sorry, but when we get back to the place where the material is so ordinary to you that it's boring, because you already understand it, your mind cannot play anymore, then what's going to happen? Well, what usually happens is you say, this is boring, you put it aside, and then you take up something new. And then for the next 3 years, you read all you can about that subject. How exciting this is, and then one day that becomes very ordinary. And you put that down and you pick up something else, and then something new, and new something new in the newspaper. Oh, I must get that book, and you get that one, and then you go on, and you go on, and you've got bigger bookshelves, and you have to move to bigger rooms because you have to have more bookshelves, and your friends are very impressed with your wisdom, and it's all nonsense. Because until those words have come alive in you, you have learned nothing. Unless you are an idiot, which none of you are, you're going to be able to understand the words. But there is life in those words. Again, I go back to the basic assumption. Everything is energy in motion. Everything. And if this is so, it is true about books, and it is true about words, and it is true about characters, and it is just as a mantra has certain meaning because of the sounds, so do books have a certain meaning. A certain vibrational frequency surrounds a book. If you could see a book psychically, so to speak, whatever that might mean to any of you, what you will see, a very interesting thing, is that not only do they radiate different colors, but they radiate different velocities. By that I mean the energy moves either more rapidly or less rapidly, depending on the kind of text that you're reading. And you would be surprised, because they're not the way you think they are. They're not the way you think they are. But you can know this. If you go back to the basic statement that I make to you, which is, please trust yourself. Please trust yourself. There's no one in this room that is untrustworthy. Trust yourself. Know that there is a certain band of realization out there that is closer to you than other bands. Find out what they are. Immerse yourself in them until those words come alive in you in a totally different way than the mind. You know how your mind can come alive? Have you sensed that? You read something and your mind lights up, literally, and you think, oh, that's wonderful. Well, that's the first step. Watch for that. That's wonderful. That has deep meaning. But then let's not stop, because as I say, once the mind is tired of it, then tedium sets in, and now you want an ever more expanding light, something new. You're being tricked, my friends.
Yeah,
certainly.
Just a few days ago, I was reading something about the Tao, and I've read much about it during time. But as I was reading, and as I finished reading, and through the day and through the night, I had the feeling, I just had a feeling of being among vast mountains and space of in joy and peace and Just a few.
All right. Let us say that you are a scientist and you are reading a very deep scientific tome. Some of those scientific tomes have some of the highest velocity possible. This is why I say, don't let your mind trick you. Because someone who deeply understands the deeper workings of science has touched something irrevocable, alive, transcendent. They have touched something. They have translated it into limited terms, yes, but they have touched the essence of reality, of the movement. All right. Now, that person is going to read this, and if it is one of those special ones that does have a vastness to it, what's going to happen is that that person is going to expand with that. That particular knowledge then is translated as a real experience, and transcendence is possible in that moment into vaster understanding. Do you understand what I'm saying? It can simply take you. All right. By the same token, if your feeling, if your relatedness with the Tao has been associated in past lifetimes with mountainous regions, with vastness, because of where you lived, because of how you experienced it, because of how you learned it, because of how it came alive to you in a past lifetime, then that is how you are going to experience it when you touch again the dynamic power of the Tao. Now, someone else in this room could read the same thing and instead see a cloistered cell with a monk sitting on the floor, very quietly, quietly moving within his own being without any awareness of the outer, and then quietly getting up and going out into the street with his bowl. And that is what the Tao will bring to person. Do not allow traps of the mind. This is wonderful. It only means you are touching once again. It means that in some lifetime you have touched and made alive that teaching. Now, one of the most classic examples is found in the realm of Christianity. Some people read the Bible and their life explodes in beauty and expansion and freedom and hope and joy, and they feel so utterly wonderful about it. Somebody else reads it and thinks, this is the most constricting, restricted thing I have read in this lifetime. It puts it aside. Now, what does this say? First of all, it says nothing. Nothing at all. Nothing. You are only experiencing the myriad faces of the dance of human, of mankind. The dance and the dancers change faces constantly. If you do not have a long background of association with Christianity, on reading the Bible, you will not feel that oneness. And somebody else will say to you, this is the living word, you must understand it. And you will try, and you will try, and you will try, especially if you're obedient, you will try very hard. And after years and years, you'll say, I can't do it. Now, do not make the mistake of then saying the book itself has no power. What you are saying is, the chances are very good that your connectedness with that particular body of knowledge is not strong. And that's all that you can say about it. So find those things that are connected deeply with your being. Now, some of you won't have any books. Some of you flow into that through something quite different. It can be through painting. It can be through gardening. It can be through making love. It can be through sitting in a chair, looking at a wall. There are no rules. I stated that, and I will state it the last time we speak together. There are no rules. Do not make them for yourselves, and for God's sake, literally for God's sake, do not make them for other people. Because something delights you. Do not think someone is stupid or unspiritual, which is closer to the mark, because they cannot respond in the same quality to something. Do you understand? Do not allow yourself to fall into this kind of misunderstanding, because you will, and this leads to the second question, you affect each other in very mysterious ways. And I would like to speak, if I might, if this is of any interest to you, I would like to speak about how you affect each other. Does that have any response? You have tricked yourself very well because you feel that your eyes are speaking truth, that you are separate. And you look at someone and you say, well, I'm not affecting this person. I mean, after all, look, I'm here and they're there. I'm not affecting. You set the game up so you could feel that. But in doing so, in setting up the rules, thusly, you have deprived yourself of the one thing that would break down your game, which is the visual image that is the reality. Those of you who have taken psychedelics, you know this to be true. On a really powerful psychedelic experience, you will have experienced not your separation, but at the high times of that experience, your oneness. If the drug has worked for you, you will see all of the breakdown of all of the separatedness, of all of the createdness, and there will be nothing but one wash of oneness. Now, what this means is that you have chosen to separate yourselves off so that you will not feel responsible for each other. We have to go back to the basic premise of why you made your ego as it is. You made your ego so you could pick and choose. You understand? The joy of being a separated ego is you pick and choose. You pick this one, you reject that one. You like that one, you don't like that one. You like this color, you don't like that color. And within that one simple fact lies your predicament. You have created separation so you could choose. But the secret is, you will never be free until you quit choosing. I repeat again. You will never, ever be free of your limitation until you quit choosing. Until you quit choosing one event over the other, one person over the other, one thought over the other, one emotion over the other, until you stop it, you will not have any space to experience the divine power. You will not have a space there. Do you understand what I'm saying? When you are choosing, you are creating your own moments. When you say, I will accept this person and reject that person, you think that this is nothing you're doing? What are you doing? You have set in motion energy fields that move. All right? Let us say that I am very accepting of one person who comes before me and very unaccepting of someone else. They don't have to touch me. They're, say, out there somewhere. Well, let's put them even further away. Let's put them in the capital city. What is it? Santa Fe. All right. Let's put them there. Or Washington. What is it? D.C., well, I don't care, wherever. Venus, that's far enough away. Let's put them on Venus, all right? Now, and I mean this literally, your mind has a vision of that person, and the power of your vision of that person affects them that way. I don't mean in some lukewarm, half-hearted way. I mean, it affects them. When you come to me and say, how can I help someone I love? There's only one answer ever possible. Watch the kind of thought forms you are sending out to that person. If someone is in your life that you think is not behaving according to your standards, by that I mean if they're not loving you enough, that's usually what it boils itself down to. If they are not loving you enough, what you're going to do, if you're very human, is to start conjuring up in your mind all of the negative qualities that that person no doubt personifies in some way to you. And you will continue to think upon them and think upon them and think upon them and think upon them. And lo and behold, in that person, they're going to get stronger and stronger and stronger. How do you think divorces come about, my friends? How do you think that exalted feeling of love that you feel at the beginning of a relationship ends up with this at the end of it? What do you think happens? Do you think some god comes down and blows fire upon it and dissolves the relationship? Nonsense. What do you do? You destroy your own relationships. Believe me, my friends, you can put the blame where you will. You are mutually responsible. You destroy your own relationships. Those of you who have bad relationships with your offspring, who is destroying it? You say, but they're impossible. Probably, probably. I have no question about that. How are you responding to that impossibility? Because I will tell you this, the mirror that you hold up for anyone, your mate, your children, your mothers, your father, I don't care who it is, they will, unless they are extremely spiritually aware, will respond in some degree to the mirror that you hold up for them. Do you understand me? You say, well, it's their problem. No, you have made it together. You have made it together. Every time you allow your mind, its free-flowing thought, to the negative qualities of whoever you know, to add fuel to a situation that is already ill and falling apart, my friends, don't be surprised at the end results. How do you affect each other? It's so simple. How do you think real healing groups work? I mean, real healing groups. There are a lot of phony healing groups alive in the world today. I say that with all... I don't know what I say that with. I say that with the knowledge that I think it's unfortunate, because I think that anybody who sets up a healing group has one responsibility, which is to find out if there's any efficacy at all involved in what they're doing. I would ask all of you to not indulge hours and hours in anything and then completely be ignorant of whether what you think you're doing is in any way coming into some form. For example, a healing group that is working for 5 years and nobody has ever been healed, they must finally say to themselves, I don't think we're doing this right. But I will tell you this, very few healing groups do this. If they fail, they say, well, there was an obstacle in the other person, or it was not God's will that it should be done. I mean, there's always excuses. Of course, you're not always successful. But the fact is, you cannot, until you have totally thrown over all control of your life, you cannot just not observe what is obviously happening. A doctor whose patients are always dying has to ask some questions. I mean, you really have to ask this kind of question. A teacher whose students never pass an exam, what's happening? You have to be aware. Now, I can just hear the questions. Yes, but what about then doing whatever you do and then letting it drop and going on? All right. If you are so attuned to the divine that you can do that, then what I'm saying does not apply to you. If you have so surrendered your life that you live in a moment-to-moment flow, then what I've said does not apply to you. But with all honesty, that does not apply to many of you in here. Not yet. So then, how do you affect each other? Mind creates reality. Mind creates reality. The reality that you then experience. Not reality in its vast cosmic sense, but your own reality that you must live through day after day. Your mind creates it. Divorces are not made in heaven or hell. They're made in your mind. Children splintered off from their families are not made any other place but in the minds of all of those involved. Now, it is true you have no control over the others, no, my friends. And nor is it your business to go home and say, now our problem is that we're creating negative thought forms and we must stop this. They will say to you, that's your problem, and it is your problem, because what you do with your mind is your responsibility. And that is the only responsibility you have. It does not extend to the thoughts of others. You do not have the right to expect other people's thought forms to fit in with your ideas. That is not your job. If you observe within your life disharmony, please watch your own mind. Watch what fantasies you entertain. Watch the things that are going on deeply within you. Be honest with yourselves, and you'll begin to see that what you expect to see is what you see. If you expect to see someone who loves you, then you're going to see that. If you expect to see someone who does not love you, who is a fool, who is an alcoholic, who is a dope addict, who is a whatever, there's so many things. And if you really expect to see that in another person, my friends, you will continue to see it over and over and over again. You know, you have examples before you constantly that you choose to ignore. There are recorded histories of many children born into families, and the child has come in the family and is considered mentally deficient. And in some families, they take those children, they put them in homes, and indeed the child not only becomes mentally deficient, but loses all will to live and becomes a vegetable and soon ends its life, and that's the end of that. But then we have the same condition in a home that says, no, I don't accept this. There must be something more here. There must be, and I will try. I will do what I can. And they try. And they work with the child, and they speak to the child, and they treat the child as if it was normal. Always being aware of safety factors, of course, but always with this in mind. There is a real human life here, and I will relate to it on that level. And it goes on. And as the child becomes older, they continue. This normalcy, a beautiful normalcy. And what does the child see? The child says, oh, I guess I'm normal. I guess I'm all right. I guess I'm all right. And inside, they then look at that mirror of how everyone treats them, and they say, all right, I can do that. I can do that. If you want somebody not to be able to do something, continue to tell them they cannot do it. And I assure you, they will not be able to do it. Unless they are absolutely so much stronger in personal will than you that they can ride you over. And a child does not often have that kind of power. The same goes with husbands, wives. If you have a characteristic in your husband or wife you don't like, if you keep thinking about it, my friends, it's going to get a lot bigger. Not only is it going to get bigger in your mind, but I assure you, it's going to get bigger in that person's mind. You see, you don't know what you are. You do not know what you are. And because you don't know, you use your eyes to tell you, and they lie to you, and you do not question. I said before, hold the great doubt. Everything you see is not as you perceive it. None of it. None of it. When you know that, when you absolutely know that, then there is nothing more that you need to know on this earth plane. Nothing. But until you know that, you're going to have to sit in your illusion until you're sick of it. And the only way that you will stop being sick of it is to pay attention to it. It is an illusion to say that someone has to be in your close environment to have you affect them. You are responsible for the thoughts that you send out into the universe. If you ask me how a war begins, I will tell you. It begins in the minds of the people on the planet. And more build on it, and more build on it, and more, and more, and more. And then one day, the balance is tipped in favor of the war. Do you understand me? There is always the choice. Do you think things are so written that wars have to be? My friends, what kind of a powerless bunch of morons do you think you are? You have so much power, and you refuse to face it because you do not want to be responsible. But my friends, you're foolish because you are responsible. The thoughts you send out, you are responsible. You have built this world. Do you know, without question, you are facing another war? Have you faced that? Has everyone in this room faced, in the depth of their reality, you are headed for another war? And who is going to stop it? If you, all of you who have access to this one key, do not use it, then do not ask how other people cannot stop the war, because you have the keys. You have the keys. Wars are not out of your responsibility. They are your responsibility. This is your planet. Make of it what you will. But if you do not do something, you are going to be in another war. I do not like dire predictions, but it has to be said. And it's going to be said over and over again on this earth plane in the next 3 years, in hopes that enough people will wake up who have the keys, who will start to do something different. And there's only one place to begin. And well, you all know it. I'm sorry to be so, what is the word?
Pessimistic?
Yes. It is no good not facing facts. The gods are not going to sweep down and save you. Why should they? You have made it. Now you must live it. You created it. Now live it. There comes a point when the balance tips. And at that point, all that you can do is do your best. Do you understand? When the energy grows, it builds and it builds, and it's building now, and it isn't yet destined. This is why I speak to you. If it was destined, I would not speak to you this way. If the scales had already tipped and it was no longer in your control, I would say nothing. How foolish to say to someone, well, too bad, you lost it. I mean, that's pointless. It isn't hopeless yet, but if you wait much longer, it's going to be.
Well, I thought of another question. I have thought of this many times, and I think what you're saying, that our thoughts of love that we can put out, I have faced this and being an old woman, and there's nothing active that I can do in the peace movements or all of these things, but many, many times I just send out love to President Carter, to Khomeini, to any of the people that I happen to know, or just sending it out to the people who are in control, who are trying to do things. Is that what you mean?
The solution is difficult, and let me point out why. If someone does not have love in their hearts, and they are sending vibrational frequencies to an area, and they themselves do not have love in their hearts, then they are sending whatever they are made of. And that doesn't help a great deal. In your case, there is no question that when you send a loving thought, it is received thusly. So to you, I would say that is the way. I do not say that to everyone, for a very simple reason. You send what you are. This is why we always go back to the basic fact. If you wish to help the world, you must transform yourself. If you wish to help the world, you must transform your mind. You cannot help the world with a weak heart and a clouded mind. Many people say it is a very selfish thing you do, this seeking your true self. Much better to be a do-gooder and clean up hospitals and whatever. And I say that you have no idea of what you are if you answer thusly. So you say to me, all right, it's an immediate problem. I'm not transformed. What do I do? I say, then I would do two things. I would, with all power possible, make use of every moment possible to transform yourself, because it can be done. We have to go back to the fact that you do not believe me. You would like to postpone it. Fine, postpone it. But when you have touched that you are not the mind and you are not the body, you are going to know And everyone you see is going to have the same response to you. There will be no difference. There will be no difference at all. And it is those people who have the best chance of helping the world. So if you sit here with a desire to save your sons from battle, to save your friends from death, to save the whole world from chaos, then I say to you, get about your business. But that isn't glamour enough. You know, most people want it a little more glamorous, but the fact is this. Every moment that you spend trying to touch upon your vast being radiates an energy field out from you that doesn't need to be directed to anybody, because guess what? The divine knows where to send it. The divine knows where to send it. Your job is so simple. Get inside your being. Touch upon it. Feel filled with it. Know that it is true. And in that instant, if you could see yourself, you would know what I mean. You're getting closer and closer, you know, to photographing the movements of body energy. You know, this new kind of, what is it called, a new kind of photography that they're doing.
Curling,
whatever. You're getting very close. And you're going to begin to see things that all these people have been prattling around for years. And you're going to see what really happens. When you quiet the mind and you quiet the body, out of it comes a radiant presence in light form that goes out from you. And it affects everything. That's the job. That's the job. It's not very glamorous. But it works. If you're watching your mind, you're going to run into negative thoughts, if you're honest. And at that moment, instead of trying some kind of play with the thought, I suggest only one thing, which is drop into your being. Do you understand what I mean when I say that? Drop into the ever-waiting being. And then think it again, and you will be very surprised. You don't think only with your mind, you know. It's a very complicated mechanism you've set up here. Just drop. And then have that person's face come to you again. And see if there isn't a difference. You don't have to do anything. If you get trapped into thinking you have to do things, my friends, you're going to be a do-gooder. And a do-gooder is going to end you in a road that is not free, because the wrong person is doing the doing. If you drop, the divine takes over and uses that moment for what is necessary. Are there any questions?
Bartholomew, if our thoughts about others affect the way they see themselves and the way they respond, then if we had some way of thinking ourselves as free, we would be free.
What do you think I am here for? Thank you, my friend. If there's anything I have come to say, it's that. If you need a mirror for freedom, I would like to be your mirror. That's why they come, my friend. That's the only reason they come. A real teacher on the physical plane, in his or her presence, the one thing you will know is that freedom is possible. And if you do not see it in that being, then do not follow. Do not follow, because you will not end up there. And you say to me, but my ego is too large, I cannot see it. Nonsense. Nonsense. Every substandard guru would love you to believe that. It is not true. In the presence of any real teacher, there is one thing you must feel, which is, it's possible. Now, maybe your second thought is, but I don't want to do it. It's too much work. It's too much humbug. Well, my love won't love me anymore. It's too complicated. Whatever, whatever. I don't care. But the first thought must be, it is possible. And not for the person sitting next to me, but for me. Now, whether I choose that road or not is my own choice. But it must be a feeling. Do you understand me? If that is missing, if you do not feel that in my presence, then do not come again. Do not come again. Because that is the only gift I can give, which is to say, it is possible for you. Pick it up if you want to. Drop it if you will. But it is possible. And it is possible now. I stated last week, but I would like to state again. Once you know that freedom from illusion is possible, then it will not be long before freedom is yours. Because you see, like any other thought, it grows on you. Right now, for some of you, it's a thought. For others of you, it's beginning to be an experience. For some of you, you've already broken through the first layer and know exactly what I'm talking about. But understand this. This is why they say in the Bible that once you've heard about Jesus Christ, that, I'm sorry, I can't get it quite right, but once you've heard about Jesus Christ, then if you do not follow him, somehow you're in jeopardy. Which of you are Christians could help me on this? Do you understand what I mean? There is a statement in the Bible that once you have heard of it, heard of this teaching, if you do not follow, then somehow it is your responsibility for not having followed through on that truth. All right. I probably have that not quite straight. That is not true. But it reflects truth. And this is the truth it reflects. If they restated it and said, once you have heard that there is such a consciousness as Christ's consciousness, then never again can you use the excuse that you don't know, then I would accept that statement. But I would add to it, and I would say thus, that once you have heard it, it will begin to grow in you, whether you want to have it grow or not, whether you water it or whether you leave it die. It will continue to grow. And someday you will wake up and you will want it so badly that you will give your life for it. It will not happen until you are ready to give your life for it. I have told you before, God is a jealous lover. And it is a fact. I don't mean you leave your loved ones. How foolish. How foolish. If you leave one set of lovers, you'll just pick up another set of lovers. Believe me. What I mean by that is, you cannot reach freedom without wholehearted surrender, which means that whatever way you have selected, you immerse yourself into it until it is you, until you know it to be you, until you know there is no separation. My friends, it isn't hard. It is not hard.
How does this go together with finishing off things? In other words, doing
I understand
things?
You. A very great teacher once said, and spoke truth, surrender to me, and I will take care of it all. You know, there are so many ways that God has graced you that you have no idea of. And that is one of them. And I would speak of it thus. When your heart is so filled with a longing to know, and you have set out in your life a pattern of obligations that have to be met, I promise you this. Those obligations will be met. You don't understand yet. You don't understand yet. You don't understand yet. You think you are an ego. You are not. You think you live this life. Life is living you. Life is living you. And if life doesn't know what it's all about, then there is no hope. But life knows exactly what it's all about. Your job is to surrender your heart and let the divine take care of the rest. And I promise you this. Your obligations will be met. Your life will be fulfilled. And so will the life of all of those close to you. I promise you all this. But you see, you don't know yet. You have to excuse the frustration, but you see, the problem is that I keep wanting to somehow materialize it for you, you know, so you could see it. But it cannot be done. If you surrender your life, the divine will pick it up. Because in truth, the divine has been living your life all along. I repeat again, life is living you. You are not living a life. Those of you who find that sad, I would ask you to remember. Take the highest point of exaltation in your entire life and magnify it a millionfold, and you are beginning to taste of what I mean when I say life is living you. You want boldness. You want creativity. You want joy. Do you want harmony? Do you want balance? Do you want peace? Do you want radiance? Then let life live you consciously. Consciously. And how to do it? It's so simple. Life is already living you. It isn't something that's going to happen in 6 months, 2 days, and 5 minutes. It's living you right now. So, quit paying attention to the wrong things. Ramana Maharshi talks about the I and the self. Another way to say that is life is present in you now. Find it find it. You all know you're alive. That's one thing you know. Then find it. Where does it spring from? How does it move? How does it feel? How does it taste? How does it see? How is it? What is it? Find out. Life is living you now. Find out about that. It's not hard. Are there any other questions? I would like to suggest something. It's a rather unusual. Those of you who need to leave, if you would go, and those of you that would choose to remain, I think we could enjoy a quiet meditation together, if that would be in order. I realize some of you have obligations, some of you have so forth. Please feel free to leave. But those of you who feel drawn to this kind of thing, I would like to suggest it with your approval.